to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Summer Heatwave Jogger.
Mr. Summer Heatwave Jogger.
It's 100 degrees, and you're outside running. For you, Mr. Summer Heatwave Jogger, hitting triple digits means showing off your six-pack abs and your room temperature IQ.
A heat stroke of genius.
5K, 10K, DOA.
End up like Jim Fix. Yeah.
So the next time you're sitting in your air-conditioned car and see a man scamper along sizzling in the sun wearing sweat-soaked shorts, pay homage to this muggy day marathoner, Mr. Summer Heatwave Jogger, a real American hero.
Mr. Summer Heatwave Jogger.
You know, it's not the heat, it's the stupidity.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Friday, October 8th. We're here to serve, to entertain, and to make you feel good all over.
Definitely not here to give you news.
No news here.
In case you've forgotten that part, we don't know what's going on.
Yeah, yesterday we were trying to figure out the UK. How many countries
did
and
you
what
go
countries.
And look into that? I totally, my attention span's like a gnat, so I forgot after I left.
But I didn't look it up, but... I think you did, right? I
mean, well, we did, but we didn't really delve
Wales
into it.
Wales and Northern Ireland and
yeah.
Was it
and
Scotland
do you know,
also?
Do you know that they have a Commonwealth countries?
Yeah, I do. That used to be the British Empire. Okay, the United Kingdom, Great Britain. That's what it used to be. It was all the colonies and all that stuff. So that's what they call the Commonwealth. We have a guest from Australia. She's going to be coming on in a moment. She'll clarify it for us. She's a part of the Commonwealth.
I love Aussies.
I'm sure.
They're the best.
Yeah?
They really are. I've had two Australian roommates.
Mm-hmm.
And I will do my Australian accent for you because I've really
Oh, you will?
Yeah.
Okay.
So here's my friend Phoebe.
You're going to do it in front of an Australian?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've actually fooled some Australians. Normally it's when they're half drunk, though, so that helps. But so my friend Phoebe, totally girly girl. And she had just bought some new boots, and she was in my apartment, and she just got a bikini wax, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She walks in, she's like, Kara! Kara! She's got an ice pack on her vagine. She's like, Kara! She goes, that bitch burnt my vagina lip, Kara! That bitch burnt my vagina lip! I was like, what happened? She's like, she totally burnt it. I was like, really? She goes, she's... But my boots look pretty, don't they? My boots are so cute. They're so gorgeous. And she held up her boots with a ice pack down there. Anyway.
Well, that's a pretty cool accent. It's better than your Russian accent.
Oh, yeah. Well, the other ones start to become like a hybrid.
Yeah.
But no, I'll go in a club and I'll be like, oh, you're so gorgeous. No, I've been here 3 months. Yeah, I'm from Brisbane.
Uh-huh.
No, I love it here. It's so, so brilliant. And they say gorgeous and brilliant. And I'll be like, do you have any Vegemite on you? And they
Vegemite,
don't.
Yeah. Well, you're talking to our guest. We might as well bring her on.
Well, I can't help it. She's Australian.
Here.
I love her.
Yes. And our guest name is Felicity. Good morning to you. You're going to have
Good
to
morning.
Get a lot closer to the mic so we can hear you well. Good morning to you and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, first of all, your name. I love the name,
it's
Felicity.
Such a great name, yeah. Thank
Isn't
you.
It cool? I mean, they made a whole TV show based on that name. So
that's pretty much it.
Well,
like, we have to make a TV show about this name. Let's just find the rest of the characters in the script.
There you go.
It's a pretty name, though.
Yeah, I didn't realize they name people like that in Australia, but I guess they do, huh?
What do you mean?
I don't
like
know.
Like, we all have ugly names, like Sheila and Barry?
That's funny.
I thought it was an American name. What
Muriel?
Do I know?
Muriel, yeah.
I love it.
Listen, I'm going to turn up the air here a little bit. I'm hot.
Oh, okay. No, so being in Australia, you know, how long have you been in the States now?
I've been here about 2 months.
Okay. Are we on vacay or are we living here now?
I'm an American citizen and an Australian citizen.
Oh, cool.
Wow. How'd you do that? Did you marry an American?
My dad's American.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How cool.
That's a good combo.
Yeah, very good.
So how did he end up in Australia?
Well, my mom was here.
Oh, I see. Okay.
She came over to California and they fell in love and, you know, whatever.
Really?
Oh, that's cool.
Et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Yeah. How did they meet? I mean, were they like, why did your mom come from Australia?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, she was just coming to California because it was the 80s and it was California. And I think that he asked her friend to dance in a club.
Oh,
she
really?
She was like the sloppy seconds. She's always like, oh, my God, I'm such a loser.
Oh, it's so funny. Aww.
Well, but she wasn't a loser. She got married to your dad.
Yeah.
And so then they moved back to Australia. Is that what happened?
No, I mean, it's sort of like there's just back and forth.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you were born here?
No, I was born
in Australia. You were born there.
Yeah. Right. And I've never been here before. So.
Oh, really?
So
it's your first time.
Yeah. Wow. So really? Dad's from the U.S.
Dad's from California.
And
yeah.
Mom's from Australia. They met out here. You got born out there.
Mm-hmm.
You got born out there.
Yeah.
And then.
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did. And then you said it was back and forth. So Mom and you always stayed in Australia, though.
I did, yeah. It was, they didn't stay together, which happens
in life.
It does happen.
And then, I guess their relationship didn't work out. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I'm not aware of.
Right.
Oh, okay.
You know, growing up and being young and just being like, oh, whatever, dad's on the phone, this is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, he died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
About 13 years ago, but I didn't know.
Oh, really?
So I only found out a few months ago.
That your dad died?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, well...
You just thought he went away or something?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought they just had a fallout and she was like, get out of
my life. Wow, so they were trying to protect you.
Yeah, well, she didn't know about it either, so...
Oh, she didn't know either.
So there was a fallout,
uh-huh.
And then he died.
Really?
Yeah, so it's a pretty intense thing. It was only a few months ago that I said, okay, I'm going to move to America. I want to get citizenship. This is the time of my life. I need to go and find this man. I need
right.
to get to know him. I need to get to know my family, etc. Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Facebook helps.
Was the connector.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, a lot of lovely relationships have come out of it. I've got to know my cousins and my aunties and my uncles, and they're all really great people.
Uh-huh.
And that's really great. It's like a part of me has...
Uh-huh.
There now.
Yeah, you discovered where you fit in that family.
Yeah, because I never knew any of them. I never spoke to any of them. A lot of them didn't even know I existed.
Really?
So, yeah.
Well, you obviously exist.
Yeah, I was like the long-lost relative.
So when you popped up and you're like, yo, I need to get in touch with my dad, I need to get my citizenship, and then at what point during that process did you find out he was deceased?
Well, excuse me, pretty much straight away. My mum was the one who... I said, Mum, I don't know anyone's names. Can you please try and track these people down? She found my auntie, and pretty much straight away my auntie was like, I have to tell you this thing straight away.
Mm.
And she told my mum, and then my mum sent me an email. Because it was all on the internet. She was like, I'm just going to send you the email straight away.
Right.
So you can see exactly what your auntie wrote.
Right.
And I was at work, so that was a bit weird.
Wow.
Oh, that's just...
I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And it was a very odd feeling because it was... I was mourning this person that I'd never met. I never knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
I'd spoken to him on the phone a lot when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely think my mom took it harder. She said to me afterwards, she was like, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. I just always thought that he would show up on the doorstep.
Mm.
And now I understand why.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm.
Pretty heavy stuff.
It's heartbreaking.
Pretty heavy for...
So you grew up without a father, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did have grandparents, so I lived with my grandparents a lot as well. So I have...
So you have a loving family.
Oh,
and everything.
Very loving, very supportive family. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing... I never felt like I was missing out on anything when I saw kids. When it was Father's Day, it was just like, whatever, I'll just get my grandpa to go.
Yeah, exactly. You get used to it.
Yeah. It's a complete non-issue. I'm not angry at either of them because I understand that people do things and that's their choice.
Right.
And sometimes things aren't optional.
Right.
But... You know, growing up with my grandparents as well, they were both fantastic influences.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then, of course, my mother got another partner later and had my brother, which is great because my brother is one of my best friends. I mean, he's a lot younger than I am, but as he gets older, the gap closes.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
You know, so.
Yeah.
What's the age difference?
It's about 7 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's not too much. Yeah.
So when we were younger, when I was like 8 and he was like 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you were like...
It's hard to communicate.
Get out of my face, man.
Yeah.
But now it's, you know, now he's 15 and it's... Aww. It's good.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's
sweet. So you have one sibling then. You have that one brother.
I do. I do have another brother on my father's side.
Another one.
Who I haven't met. We're just delving into everything.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Listeners are like, this girl is heavy.
No.
No, not at all. I mean, it's interesting, you know.
Yeah,
it's
really interesting.
And you're probably embarking on a journey, you know, where you're going to find out more about the family and things like that. I don't know if you really want to.
I do. But he's 12. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where his mother has said, I'm a bit unsure of what I want. If I want to tell him yet, or if I would like to let him find out a little bit later when he's a bit more emotionally stable.
Right.
And I've said that's fine. You know, I completely respect that. I haven't ever spoken to her. That's sort of third party information.
Okay.
Through my auntie.
Mm-hmm.
But that's completely fine. I completely understand that, and that's her choice.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. So where in Australia did you live?
I'm from a place called Umina Beach, which is 2 hours north of Sydney.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it's a part of the Central Coast. Mm-hmm. So it sort of goes Sydney, Central Coast, Newcastle.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're sort of 2 hours sort of north of each other. But I did live in Sydney for a few years as well.
Did you really?
Yeah.
On your own? Or,
with my boyfriend.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Wow. So what happened to the boyfriend now? Did he come with you?
Well, he has to finish university. So he's we're putting, you know, our priorities down. And I initially came here because I got a scholarship to an acting school.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. So that was the big... I was like, well, I've got this big opportunity. I need to take it. I've always wanted to move to Los Angeles and pursue my career.
Mm-hmm.
Which... you know, it's going to be difficult, but I have to do it while I'm young. I'm not going to wait till I'm 30 or whatever. And then, you know.
Yeah.
So he has one more year after this year of university left.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, we'll see where we're at. And hopefully
get a little closer to the mic because we want to hear you fall, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, there's not much to pull it towards you. But anyway, well, this is fascinating. So... were you doing acting in Australia as well? I mean, is that how you started your career?
Yeah, I went to a performing arts high school.
Uh-huh.
And did a lot of acting. I was very into sort of Shakespeare kind of stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But at the same time, I wasn't into theatre. I'm very television, film sort of based.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shakespeare. I sort of skipped the whole theatre.
Well, it's always good to have a good foundation. You know, like the theatre background's the best for, you know, kind of taking it, launching it. You don't have to stay theatrical, like on the stage, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So that's kind of cool. Awesome. It's always an advantage doing like a magnet school or high school that's like conservatory like, and then having that platform. And then did you go? Then you moved out here after high school, or?
Well, I went. I was in Australia for a few years. I worked in a few television TV shows, sort of drama sort of style, like Home and Away. I don't know if you know what that is. That's like, I guess it's our version of The Bold and the Beautiful, but it's beachy and.
Oh, really?
Australian, you know, it's not LA glamorous like The Bold and the Beautiful is.
Right.
We live by the beach and we own a little coffee shop and everything like that. So, and then I did a lot of small parts and a lot of different TV shows. I worked in television presenting for a few years as well.
Mm-hmm.
I did dabble in a bit of sort of radio work.
Mm-hmm.
And never got on the air.
Yeah,
was one of those, come in and, you know, you'll eventually get on the air, but mostly you'll just be doing some office errands.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you love that? Hey, we got a great opportunity for you. It starts with coffee and picking up dry cleaning. But no, I see a great future. Just, you know, put your head down and just keep doing it. Shut up. And maybe one day you'll be CEO. It can happen. It can happen.
It could. And then I got my scholarship. And then, you know, I said, well, I have to take this opportunity. Unfortunately, the school didn't turn out to be what I expected.
Can you say the school? I probably know it.
It's New York Film Academy.
Oh, okay.
It's in Toluca Lake, yeah.
Okay.
It's inside Universal Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. How cool. So you're finding your way around.
So what was it that you were, like, disappointed at in school?
Well, a few of the people that I met there were really there because they were from other countries and their dad was rich.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way they could live in America and party it up was because they were on a student visa, so they weren't taking it seriously.
They were
on daddy's money and, you know.
Yeah. Right,
and then,
so it's not like they chose to be there.
Yeah, and I mean, I auditioned for it, which is why I got the scholarship in Australia.
Mm.
But a lot of the kids, you don't have to audition. If you want to pay full price, just go ahead. You can just, you know, you have to submit an essay and an application, et cetera, but pretty much anyone can go there if they've got enough money.
Mm.
So a few of the kids there weren't taking it seriously. A few of the kids there had never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of was looking more for an avenue between me and the LA industry because I don't know it. I don't know anyone.
Yeah.
A little bridge.
You know,
it wasn't bridging the gap for me.
There's so many people that, like, when I moved here and there is a market in LA, and this is probably like a lot of different, well, maybe it's just the LA industry, but there's so many industries that make money off of people that don't know anything. And it's you don't know. I mean, you just move here, same thing with me, but there's so many different quote-unquote acting conservatories out here that are just such BS. And it's not that you can't learn anything there, but it's like they try to make it this entryway into the industry, and it's not necessarily that, and it's extremely expensive. And a lot of conservatories that are legit look at a lot of these places as a joke. You know, like if you're really going to do a certain conservatory, you're going to go to, you know, Manhattan School of Music, or you're going to go to Berkeley, or you're going to do this or whatever, you're going to go to this conservatory, and then you have these things cropping up because they know that people move here in droves, mm-hmm. and they want somebody to tell them what to do.
Yeah,
you know what
exactly.
I mean? Because you feel so lost.
Exactly.
And not that you can't learn anything at all there, or that they're horrible. It's just they claim to kind of have this insider track. And it's like, no. It doesn't work that way. Like, you can literally move out here and just go study under some people that you really love. And then, you know, work your way to get an agent and, you know, do it that way. It's just, it's interesting because I've had close friends do this. And I'm like, why are you spending?
Yeah,
and it's
exactly.
But you don't want to burst their dreams, but at the same time, you're like, hey, before I write that check, listen, I just want to talk to you real quick. You might want to just think on this, you know, because it doesn't, it's not, I mean, when you've been here for a while, you know, I have friends that, like, went to some of these schools, and then they're like, it's just such a joke. And they didn't even finish. They're like, it's just such a joke.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, I was lucky I got out within the first 2 weeks. It was.
Oh, that's good.
I was looking at it, and I was like, we're doing all these things.
Because you've done it in Australia.
Exactly.
I have a lot of friends that moved here from Canada and stuff that have been in Australia and stuff that have been doing it, and they kind of can see through the BS of it all.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, wait a minute, this isn't like...
And it was just, it was a little bit of false advertising.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you signed up, it was like, this school's so fantastic. We're inside Universal Studios, and you get to shoot all your short films on the back lot.
Really?
And that, you know, we do production workshops, but when you do your films, you have to find your own locations.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
So,
oh, well.
Really. Bit,
so much for Hollywood. Yeah.
I was a bit put off by that. I was like, well, isn't that why the school's so expensive?
Yeah.
Isn't that why everyone's paying so much money to go here?
Wow.
Well, yeah, that's a story. So let's bring in our other guest. Go ahead and get closer to the mic. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And your name is Tasha, right? Or Tosha?
Yes, it's Tasha.
Tasha, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. And so let's find out a little bit about you. Are you new to LA as well?
Yes. I recently just moved here about 3 to 4 months ago.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So just about as long as you have been here, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
I've
been here 2 months.
Yeah, 2 months. That's right. Wow. So we got a lot of new people here in this town.
Right.
That's what happens here. You know, nobody's from here.
It
yeah.
is so interesting. It's like piles and piles. I mean, everybody, we're all there at one point, you know, like, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So where did you move from?
San Francisco.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Is that where you grew up?
I grew up in San Diego. I moved up to San Francisco about 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And then I moved back down to Southern California.
Really?
I miss the sun.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's always cloudy.
What was it like? Did you ever acclimate to the weather up there?
You get used to it, and it's not cold per se, but it is gloomy, like you said. You always have the overcast from the bay and stuff like that, and it's 70. You don't usually get up in the 80s too often, so it's a pretty cool temperature year-round.
And then you move down here, and it's really hot.
Oh, yes, and then I move down here, and it's 90-degree weather, like, every day, so I'm in love.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been radically weirdly hot. Well, not these last few days, but that few weeks ago.
Oh, yes.
Which is normally it's pretty mild temperatures, or, like, average to mild. But
yeah, exactly. It's usually, like, a good 80 every day, and then we had those, like, hundreds, 110 for a couple days there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was intense.
Yeah, then it was raining, and I was saying at home to everyone, I'm in LA, and it's raining. Is the world going to end? What's
exactly.
happening?
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's exactly what you think when you're on the roads when it rains. It feels like the end of the world, you know? People can't drive.
Exactly.
They can't do anything.
Whoa.
All they do is complain, you know? I mean,
Sam.
I don't get it, you know? What?
You said all they do is complain. I was like, Sam.
Yeah?
No, you don't,
Why? Do I complain?
Well, you do, but not actually, you love the rain, so no, not really rain.
No, I love the rain, and I don't complain. You complain more.
Right.
I don't mind. I'm a complainer, too.
Yeah?
I hate the
rain.
Yeah,
like it really helps, right?
I know. It doesn't get us anywhere.
Yeah. So what did you do in San Francisco?
I went to school, and I do modeling and acting part-time.
Really?
So that's what drove me down here also. So, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's cool. So you've been doing that, what, since you were young?
Yeah. I've been doing it for about 5-6 years now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. How cool.
Yeah.
So modeling, acting, and stuff like that, you decided there's not much in San Francisco. I'm moving to Hollywood.
Yeah, it's a lot more competitive down here, and it's a lot harder down here. I definitely made a lot more money up in San Francisco because the competition wasn't so hard. But you're not going to make it in the industry up there.
Oh, really?
There's only so far you can go. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have big name agencies up there. You don't have big companies going to agencies up there. You have, they're mostly based in LA. So if you're trying to make it as a model and an actor, you have to be in LA or New York.
Really?
Basically,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so there's no two ways about it. I mean, even San Francisco doesn't cut it, huh?
Exactly. Like, I was signed with a really good agency up there for modeling-wise, and I wasn't getting anywhere.
Mm.
Every time I had something big, I had to fly down to L.A. for an audition anyways.
Yeah.
So I was like, I can either move down there and save myself all this time and money of traveling, or I can just, you know, live down there and have it conveniently right there. So finally made the big move and moved down here a couple months ago. So.
That's cool. So did you find a place to live, roommates, all that?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
The package, right?
Yes.
What part of town are you living in?
I'm in West L.A., right by West Hollywood.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, really nice area, actually. All my casting calls and auditions are right in that area. Mm-hmm. So.
What streets area?
La Brea and Olympic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's super down. I was just over there the other night.
Yeah.
Yeah, La Brea Olympic area.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's like right in the heart of the city, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Felicity, you moved here 2 months ago.
Yes,
and you came here all by yourself. You didn't know anybody.
Well, I mean, I have my family, but they live in San Diego and Vegas, so pretty much no one.
Right, and that's your father's family,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, the Americans.
Yeah, the Americans.
We, we got to keep track of everyone here.
Yeah, and then, I mean, I had been on Craigslist a little bit looking for roommates, and I discovered a girl named Vanessa.
Mm-hmm.
I applied to her ad a few months before I moved over here, and we added each other to Facebook, and blah, 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 and now we live together, so that's exciting.
Is she cool, or is she psychotic?
She's very cool.
Because, I mean,
cool.
You know, anytime you start off with I found a roommate on Craigslist, which I've done that many times.
Are you psychotic?
The Craigslist is a big flea market, and look, I love it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to do your homework.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I have had my fair share of psychotic flatmates. I was like, this girl's going to be great if I base it on this. The probability of her being psychotic or great. I've had too many psychotic roommates.
Really?
Really?
What's your worst psychotic roommate? Top one.
Are you ready?
Yes.
It's a bit heavy.
I know. I love it. I love it. Did he try to kill you? I want to hear it.
You're full of heavy stuff.
I'm very heavy. Okay. So I, when I lived back home, I used to take a lot of photos and I used to go to the same place to develop them every Thursday.
Uh-huh.
And the boy who worked there was there every Thursday. Eventually we, you know, were chatting, blah, blah, blah. He invited me to his birthday party. We became friends over the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
He was always this person who I would describe as either a genius or a serial killer.
Really?
He was.
They're usually both, though. I mean, let me clarify that. If they're a serial killer, there usually is a streak of genius in them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not that all geniuses are serial killers.
Yeah.
Continue, Felicity.
I know.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I was like, what is with this guy?
The
He's
crime
crazy.
Expert here. Yeah.
Well, you know, you gotta pick up some skills on the street. Okay.
But you know, I thought it was just his sense of humor. He was like, hey, I'm asking you all these really weird questions, and you have no idea where they're coming from. Like, he would just be like, hey, so do you smoke? What did you do last night? Do you want to have sex? Like, just like the most ridiculous stuff. I'd be like, what is wrong with your brain? Can you slow down? And then anyway, you know, we got used to each other and became friends. And then one day he was like, hey, I just moved into a new house on the beach in this really beautiful spot, and I'm looking for a flatmate. And this was my yes year.
Yeah.
Where I said, I'm going to say yes to everything.
Even the serial killers.
And it was January, so I was like, great. Good start to the yes year. So I moved in with him, and I was working close by, and for a couple of weeks it was fantastic. We lived in this beautiful, beautiful house on the beach,
mm-hmm.
and I worked 5 minutes away, and it was just a really good time of my life, apart from all this other stuff. So gradually he was like, hey, man, can you do my washing? And I was like, that's fine, babe. I'll do your washing for you. No worries at all. And then I would come home and there'd be dishes in the sink and I'd be like, I'm not doing that. I just did your washing. And then gradually, my friends would come over and he would either hook up with them, which is fine. If you want to hook up with my friends and you want to date them, that's completely fine. But don't hook up with my friends and then screw them over.
Yeah.
And then they're crying on my shoulder the next week.
Yeah.
And he would just think it was really funny. So he'd hook up with one friend and then she'd be totally in love with him. And then he'd bring another girl home in front of her and laugh. And I'd be like, dude, this is not okay. And then, after a while, he started to say things like, you know, my friends would come over and be like, oh, my God, Sally, you look really hot today. Felicity, you should dress more like this girl. And he started to emotionally pull me apart in that kind of way where he would be like, are you wearing that out?
Uh-huh.
After I'd just been
you know, spend an hour getting dressed, I'd walk out and be like, how do I look? And he'd be like, you look disgusting, man.
Really?
And then, so after a while, my self-esteem started to drop, which is, I guess, part of his plan. Then he started eating my food, which I actually confronted him about. I was like, dude, I'm really hungry and I have no avocado. And he was like, well, there were ants in it. And, you know, I was sort of a bit, well, it was in the fridge. I don't think ants live in the fridge. And then, you know, gradually it got a bit more crazy. And he would start to crawl in my bed in the middle of the night. He would start to... I mean, not...
So far, this is like all my roommates, but I'm trying to get to the point where, like, it gets crazy. So
okay.
He crawled in your bed. Beginning. That's a little weird, but I have girl roommates that do that stuff.
Yeah. Well, he would crawl in my bed, and I would be like, get out. And then he'd wake me up in the middle of... He'd wake me up really early in the morning sometimes after I'd been out all night.
Mm-hmm.
And he would, like, bang on the door and singing and clapping and being like, get up. And I'd be like, oh my god, okay, I'm up, what do you want to do? And he'd be like, actually, I don't want to hang out with you anymore. And then after a while, he started to put locks on the internet and locks on the computer, like locks on the computer, locks on the internet, locks on the cable. And I would be like, oh my god, what happened? And he would be like, well, see, I didn't do this, you must have broken it.
Really?
And so I started to really worry that I'd break.
There's a psycho for you, huh? When and you then, start feeling you're crazy, you know you're living with a crazy
that's
person.
That's what I mean, but this is all his plan. He started to make me think that I was crazy, and then he referred me to a doctor.
Oh. Did he really?
Yeah, man.
Did you go?
No. I was like, what's happening? I was 18, and I just found a letter that he'd written. I had a back door key, and he had a front door key as well, and then... at one stage, I remember coming home and he'd locked me out. He'd locked the door from the inside, so I had to climb in through his window to get into the house. It was the only window that was accessible from the ground.
Right.
And then I found this letter. So I don't know if that was intentional. It probably was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I cannot help Felicity. She needs severe psychiatric help, blah, blah, blah. And then I had this, and this doctor had called me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very shocked. And this repeatedly happened. He kept locking me out of the house, crawling into my bed, still emotionally sort of abusing me in the way that he would really put me down. You need to change your hair, you need to wear more makeup, you need to lose some weight, you need to do this, you need to do that, until eventually my family were like, this is psycho, this is psychotic, we're getting you out. And then we just had this massive heist where all my friends went there and we just took all my stuff out of the house. And then after that, but the whole thing is, he was in love with me and he wanted me for himself, because I was going through a bit of a breakup with a boy, and after I moved out, my flatmate, or my roommate as you guys call it, decided to contact the boy that I'd just broken up with and his new girlfriend and tell them everything I'd said about them. So then the three of them decided to
gang up
on me and form a club, the I Hate Felicity Club. And attempt to ruin my life.
Wow.
And I mean, there were people, I have no idea what they said to people to this day, but there were times where I'd be walking around and I'd see people that I knew through those people, and I'd be like, hey man, how's it going?
Mm-hmm.
And these people would literally just look at me and then just walk the other way.
Really? Wow.
It was really intense for a few months, and I ended up running away.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I need to get away from this.
Yeah, there's really a reason to get away, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what
did
the
you
hell?
Ever, like, yeah. confront this guy and, like, throw him against the wall or anything? Or?
Well, it wasn't until years later. I mean, he'd really damaged my self-esteem.
Yeah.
Between him and the boy breaking up with me for this other girl, I was not in a very emotional state.
Yeah.
So I went and I lived in the snow. I didn't know, but you know how you can go and work the snow season for a couple of months?
Oh, okay.
I did that, and that was good. I went away from everything. I got away from it all. And it wasn't until, even then after that, when I came back, I'd see him out and I'd freak out and I'd have to run away. I was really, really, he really scared me. But it wasn't until maybe a couple of years later, probably 1 year later actually, that when I started to see him out, I'd be like, Adam, it's so good to see you. And he was just really caught off guard. I would just go up to him at the club and be like, oh my god, I love your shirt, but I don't think it's very good with these jeans. Probably need to mix that up a little. Oh my god, is this your friend? He's really hot. You should dress more like him.
And oh, that's
stuff
funny.
Like that. So, and he was always like, what? Why are you talking to me? Because he'd never had that power reversed.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, but at the same time, after this happened and I started to slowly get friends back from the people he'd turned against me, they were like, actually, Adam is a psycho.
Yeah, like, duh.
He is going to be a serial killer. Like, I am just waiting for the day when he gets arrested for burying bodies in his backyard.
Yeah.
He's crazy. I'm glad I got out of there. I mean, this happened over, you know, months and months as well. It wasn't just like he crawled into my bed once, he locked me out once, he put he made me feel crazy once. It was all very, and it was a slow build-up. And,
that's insane.
Yeah. And then I lived with some lesbians, which I thought were really cool because they were cool, like punk rock lesbians that used to beat each other up.
Really?
That was nice.
Well, we'll hear about that in a minute. We can't pass up on the lesbian story.
No, you don't. Sam never turns down a good lesbian.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Even though it may not be the kind of lesbians that are doing it to turn a guy on, if it's like full-blown legit lesbians, he still does not discriminate.
I don't discriminate, but I wanted to hear from Tasha. Do you have any roommate stories that...
yeah, I've got some. My last housemates were actually
get closer to the mic.
Kind of like your story, roommates can become very controlling, I've noticed.
Really?
Well, when you're surrounded by people who don't like you 24/7 in your own home, and you're being teamed up on, you can feel like you're between a rock and a hard place, you know, and you feel like you can't get out. I lived with my ex-boyfriend for about 3 years, and everything was nice at first. The big mistake that we did was we moved in with his friends, which was a huge mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have anyone on my side, basically. So I moved in with him and four other guys. Exactly.
Never.
A horrible idea.
Never.
None of the guys had girlfriends, so I was the only girl in the house.
No.
So they were all like, hey, man, come hang out with us all the time.
Exactly. The same thing. I brought over girls. All the roommates were hooking up with my girlfriends, tearing their hearts apart, stuff like that. I had to deal with all the drama and the crying and stuff. And then when things started to get bad between me and my boyfriend, you know, of course, all the roommates are going to take his side. So it basically became hell at my house, you know.
Really?
Home was no longer home. I'd come home, all I could do was like lock myself in the room, always crying. They were just always teaming up on me. And on top of that, you're living with like five men who don't clean, who don't cook, who don't take care of themselves.
Uh-huh.
So you're cleaning the whole house all the time. You're basically taking care of five grown men.
Yeah.
You're cooking for them all the time.
See, I thought it was supposed to be reversed, like with the seven white dwarfs and stuff, the Snow Whites. Like, they're supposed to be like on that shit. They're supposed to have the toilet clean. They're supposed to be like, and there's a bird flying around and they're cleaning. You know what I mean? It's not supposed to be like you taking care of them. You just, mm-mm.
Exactly. But I think that the seven dwarves didn't actually do that until Snow White had to kick him into gear.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, but eventually they found their rightful place.
Yeah.
And they picked up a broom and they shut up. You know, or they whistled while they worked. Either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The sad thing about them, I couldn't just chase them around with a broom and make them do the work. But
there you go. So how long did that last?
Well, I lived with him for about a year and a half, and then the last 6 months got pretty bad. The guys just always played video games. They smoked a lot of pot, bunch of pot, just sitting on the couch all day, eating, just playing video games. Like, the total, like...
That's like the most... Thing. Man, if you're listening and you are a man, even if you're on your way to manhood...
Stop playing video games.
You know, the pot, the video games, and the not showering is probably... It's probably the biggest antithesis to ever getting a woman. Like,
I think that the video games can be okay if you play... In
small quantities.
Yeah, if you don't
play all day. I've dated so many men who will sit on the computer all day. Okay, they'll have Madden on the PlayStation.
Right.
They'll have football on the TV, and then they have fantasy football on the computer.
See, what they don't understand, it doesn't matter how many of these this stuff you have, you're never going to be an athlete.
Right. Exactly.
You're never going to be a star.
We ain't sitting down playing games all day.
Yeah, you're never going to be that. And you know, if you really got up and maybe threw a football once in a while, went on a run and took a shower, get rid of your incense and BO combo, you might get a woman. You know what
exactly.
I mean? Like, this is like, I'm not saying, I'm like with you. Like, hey, if you like video games, I know girls like video games.
Oh, I'm not extremely into video games, but but at the same time, I know a lot of friends that are into video games. They'll be like, oh, this new game's coming out and I'm really excited. And but they're not people who don't have socialized and they don't smoke heaps of pot.
Right.
That is if you're listening, not very good.
So you refer to them as men. It sounds more like boys.
Boys. Yeah. Well, yes, boys. I mean, I'm not going to say any names, but I have actually dated a man where we will be watching, we'll have a whole bunch of friends over and we'll be watching Monday Night Football or something, you know, because like, I enjoy football. I mean, I don't watch it all the time, but if I do watch it, I want to make an event out of it. I want to have some friends over,
food.
Barbecue, exactly, like making an event of it.
Margaritas.
Yeah, exactly, margaritas or whatever. Yeah, and so we'll have a bunch of friends over, and my boyfriend was, like I said, like watching football, playing fantasy football on the computer, and playing Madden. And then once football's over, it's poker. Okay, this is the worst.
Oh,
we're
God.
Watching Full Tilt Poker on the computer. He's playing Full Tilt Poker, he's playing Full Tilt Poker on the computer, watching it on TV, and then on top of that, playing Madden.
Yeah. It's so like, obviously you're not part of the game plan here, huh?
No, like, can I watch the TV? Can I use the computer? Like, can I do something? You know, you don't need to be watching or playing football on three different sources.
I hate that.
It's ridiculous.
I can't even handle this conversation right now, how much I hate it.
It's driving me up the wall.
Like, honestly, I dated a guy who was way into football, and it was, I mean, it tore us apart.
Exactly.
I told him one time, I was like, look, if I have a kid, if we have kids together, I'm like, our kids aren't going to be watching like Sunday or Monday night football or whatever. And I'm like, what if our kid wants to play the piano and doesn't want to be like an NFL person? He's like, that's cool, babe. I'll teach him the NFL theme song on the piano.
Oh,
like,
oh my God.
You know, I was like, this just, you're not getting it. It's not, you know, but I just feel like it's like women like to see men that can fix things, that can do things, that can actuate, that can have goals, that can like go and be productive. Mm-hmm. And I think men like that in women too. They don't want a woman that just sits on her ass all day. Mm-hmm. They want a woman with dreams and goals and, you know, aspirations and, like, goes out and tries, you know, like, give it a good try, like, go out there and do something. It's like, you want to be inspired by your partner. You want to find something in them that you're like, man, I'm really proud of the hard work or the this, or even if they're not like a, even if they're not a rock star or they're not like the biggest money maker, you're like, man, they're going after it, or they're, you know,
at least they're trying.
And
you want to wake up in the morning and you want to make them, make you feel positive and inspired. And you know, like, you're a pretty girl. It sounds like you need to get higher standards. I hope you do now.
Yeah, you're a model, so just pull the model card.
Yeah, it's fine. Just, like, drop the M word.
Yeah, drop the M word.
Exactly.
Like, hey, you see this shit right here? I just got 10 grand for these jeans. So, you know, you need to get up on a program. Yeah.
Just chew them up and spit them out. That's what they say, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Give them back what they're giving you all these years.
I feel too.
But there are great guys out there. You know, you just have to find them. You know,
they definitely
have to go,
are.
You have to go through.
Let the competition, like they say, is like a competition greases the wheels of commerce. It's like competition just greases the wheels of, I think, just higher standards in general. You know, I think the more men are vying for you. I mean, not to get like arrogant or anything, but it's almost like one of those things where it's like, you know, you start to get a little bit like, you know what, there's not a shortage of men. They're all gonna try to go after me, and then, you know, you kind of just run your race, do your thing, and let them catch up is the way I look at it. Like, you know, don't stop for any guy, but do your thing, and then the right guy will be able to catch up with you, you know, instead of you, like, trying to carry his dead weight.
Yeah.
I've noticed that. I noticed that, too. Like, it's almost funny, like, so I rotate the coffee shops I go to. So I found a new one. So I just, you know, work on the computer, and I just, you know, change up the atmosphere, but I found one that I'm, like, kind of into right now, and it's, like, kind of star-studded and stuff, whatever. I've been telling stories. But, like, there's a few writers and stuff, and it's like there's a lot of black dudes there that have been hitting on me hardcore.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, like you, four. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They broke it down for
they
me.
They love it.
Yeah, yeah.
They love the white booty.
Oh, that, yeah, they do. Yeah.
They like what?
The white booty.
Well, oh, yeah. They love white. Yeah.
Anyway, so I was sitting by one guy, and he told me he you know, good looking dudes. He's like, he leans over. He's like, you know why they're hitting on you? He's like, you're built like a sister.
Oh my God.
And I was like, okay, well, let's work it, you know? But my point is it's kind of weird, the psychology of the more that I go in there and the more that there's energy happens of flirting and stuff with different guys, it seems like it's contagious, and then more guys.
Do you want to know something, though? In Australia, I would probably get 10% of the guys hitting on me that I do here. I walk down the street here, and people are like, hey, babe. Hey, gorgeous. How's it going? Yeah. Hey, I really like your shirt. Hey.
Really?
Oh, really?
I am just constantly
being hit on.
Surprised by the amount of people that are talking to me.
Right.
Oh, really?
Do you like it?
It's not sleazy.
It's flattering, isn't it?
It is flattering. Yeah. I mean, they're never sleazy about it. I haven't really come across anything that is overly, like, offensive or anything like that.
Right.
It's, but at the same time, I am trying not to get offended by that. In Australia, if someone had come up to me and been like, hey, sexy, I would be a bit offended. Like, that's really odd in Australia. What?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, really?
That's funny. But here, it's like, hey, sexy. Hey.
Exactly.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And is it like, a friend of mine went to Australia, and he said that it's a little bit reversed. The women are a little bit more the pursuers than the men.
Well, I guess so. I mean, I guess that's it. Do you know the book?
That would be cool. That's a dream for me.
He was a guy I dated. He was in the military, and he's like, he goes, all the girls, like, he's like, girls would just... They're really quick to talk to guys. They're really open. And that you guys don't have to work as hard, I guess.
But I think that comes with time as well. When you're 18, because, you know, our legal drinking age is 18 in Australia.
Exactly. That might
so
be also.
It's also, when you're 18, you don't really have self-esteem.
Right.
When you're 21, 22, you start to get that self-esteem. Uh-huh. You start to be able to walk up to people, make conversation, talk to guys that you like, because you're
you just started to grow into yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I don't know if it's a couple of years later here because experienced things a bit later because of the drinking age and the clubbing age and things like that. But one of the things that I noticed when I came over here, do you know the book The Mystery Method? It's basically...
Sounds mysterious, break this down.
Well, I haven't personally read it, but I think the guy's name is Neil Strassman, and he's basically this... what do they call them? PUA, pickup artist. And he wrote this whole book on how he would... He's not a good-looking dude at all. My boyfriend read it before we met.
Yeah. But I've heard of something like
what's
that.
What's it called? Yeah. The Mystery Method. And basically, he says things... He just... Not a good-looking guy and... gets to bed really, really beautiful women all the time because he says really interesting things to them. He has really interesting tactics. And one of the things that my boyfriend in Australia, Kieran, said to me was, guys must talk to girls a lot in America because this sounds like girls have guys in their face all the time. Hey, babe, how's it going? How's it going?
You do.
Hey, I've got something really interesting to say, and that's why girls zone in. Whereas in Australia, if a guy's talking to you and he's saying something like, well, like one of the things is to say, hey, pick a number between 1 and 10. Go do it.
Okay, I picked one.
Is it 7?
Yeah. How did you know that?
I think I'm reading this book. Okay.
Why did you know that number?
Because it's a holy number. It's almost always 7. It's always 7.
Really?
I'm reading this book right now, actually.
But I always pick 7 because it's a holy number. Anyway, go on.
The book actually states, I might be reading this. If the man's name is Mystery, I'm reading this book right now, actually. It's my bathroom book.
Well, what is it called?
Really?
I'm not sure what it's called, but the guy, the pickup artist, his name is actually Mystery.
Okay, well,
so it might be called The Mystery Method.
I think there's two of them, so I haven't read it personally.
Because the reason I say this is because I was just reading it, and one of the pickup lines is pick a number 1 through 10, and he's like, they almost always say 7.
Yeah. And if it's not 7, it's 3.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So that's why. So he had an interview with Britney Spears because he's a journalist, and Britney Spears is this woman who's getting attention from everyone. This is, you know, quite a few years ago when she was, like, at her peak, you know, toxic days.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to her in an interview, pick a number between 1 and 10. She said 7. And he got, you know, they became friends after that. I'm not sure if they if they actually, if they actually dated or slept together or anything like that. But he got her attention. And this is a way for guys who don't feel like anyone is talking to them or women are interested in them to get this
Well, they have
attention.
To kind of like just... I think that what I do like about what he's saying is that, you know, use your brain, actually listen, actually find something unique to say, and actually maybe personalize it instead of make it generic, right? And like actually... Which women tend to do that anyway. Men don't. Where women do tend to focus in and tend to like... listen and ask questions and care, you know?
Exactly.
Where guys see it as like a sea of gazelle, and they're just like, which one can I take down the easiest right now?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like a hunt for them, and they're just kind of like, oh, who am I going to get home? You know what I mean?
Exactly. They're not really like women. They're not actually listening to you, you know? They're just trying to, like, pick a woman to get home, you know?
Yeah.
As women, we actually... keen in on the conversation, listen to the men, want to feel that intellectual conversation coming from the man, and then we move into that man because of his intelligence, possibly.
Yeah.
With men, it's like, they can pick any ditzy woman as long as they can get her in the bed. That's all that matters for them.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, it's so bad to use this as an example, but there's so much truth in it, in this, especially this generation, is the Jersey Shore phenomenon, which is these guys, they GTL, gym, tan, laundry.
Oh, God.
And they basically, they just get, they start their day, they eat, they go to the gym, they tan, and they do their laundry for that night.
Yes.
And it's all about, they go out, and it's about a hunt. It's like they're like a pack of wolves.
It's disgusting.
They just get ready to go out to the club, and it's just to consume. It's to basically go and find the one for that night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sport, it's a game, and it's like, it's so... It's like the way they're filming this show too, it completely, there's nothing apologetic about it. Mm-mm. There's nothing even mysterious or covert about it. I mean, it's in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's how a lot of men do operate.
And
or men would love to operate that way. They don't have the confidence.
Exactly. They're very blunt about it. Like the situation, for example, from Jersey Shore, he will have two women in the house
and then decide
with him. And then he will have another woman come over, and he's got like two women in one room, another one in this one. And he's trying to like
figure
juggle. Out. Exactly. Trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to do? And then he'll say to like one of his roommates, like Polly, okay, Polly, you have that girl. Okay, now other guy, you have this girl. Now let's work this out. You know, it's really disgusting.
It's gross because they're not human beings.
It's
like
not
we're, human. It's like they're not dealing with. It's like different foods or different styles or flavors. It's like okay, what am I moving for? A little Italian tonight? Maybe go. Let's go with maybe an.
So they're like really primal. I mean, they're like.
It's very.
We'll just chase the females and
yeah,
whatever
yeah.
we can
and
get.
And they don't. They're not like. They're not like. You know. They're not. It's like they're not. These people aren't human or something.
Exactly. What happens when like the situation wants to settle down and get married and have kids? Do you think his wife wants to be with a man who was on the show and like messed with all these women, and then in the future like have kids with this man and be like, oh, look at what your father did, you know? Like, no, exactly. Like, I'm sorry the situation, but if you want to get married in the future, you're effed.
I think it's also a continuation of you know what I was saying before. In Australia, the legal drinking age is 18. Here, it's 21. So girls are getting self-esteem later on.
Right.
You know, they're growing into themselves later on. They're having these experiences later on. So these guys that are going out and picking up these women, no confident girl that holds herself in high esteem is going to handle that kind of treatment.
Exactly.
Now, I've only watched one episode of Jersey Shore, and I was like, wait, are we laughing with them or at them? I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
But in this one episode, they had a bunch of girls in the spa with them, and one of the girls, I guess, I don't know what you call them, like, you know, chicken fillets, like the girl, like girls that don't have big
chicken
boobs.
Fillets.
They put their, they put their
they do,
thing
Sam,
their...
they look like my friend, like a lot of my friends don't have big boobs, they're all like skinny little bitches, and they have like those, like, they look like cutlets, they look like, they look like fake raw chicken, and they just pop them in, and they give them a fake chest.
Yeah,
really?
God bless them.
So they're in the spa with these girls in bikinis, and you know this girl's chicken fillet pops out, and they're all like throwing it around and laughing, and the camera zooms in on the girl whose chicken fillet it was, and she's like sitting there mortified. And if that was me, I'd be like, can I have it back, please? Stop being an idiot. You know what I mean? And
what I would do if I did that. I'd be like, cough up my fillet. And then also, I'm not signing that release form. Good luck with your episode.
Yeah.
Just like she could have been smart about it and not signing a release form.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly right. But that's when I realized that the girls that these guys are going after are the girls who...
are insecure.
Insecure. They don't have faith in themselves.
Right.
Well, they say that a lot of really, really pretty girls are super insecure, which is why they're so pretty. Because they you know...
They try really
they
hard.
They are... And I have a few friends, the one in particular, that is just so beautiful. And makes me kind of sad because I don't think she, like... She doesn't know how to work it, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, she doesn't know how to own it. She just is constantly, but she works out. Everything, she looks immaculate. She's gorgeous, just so pretty. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, I just want her to feel confident, like, and not, it's not about your looks. Like, just have fun, enjoy life, and let it go. But the thing is that her insecurity almost makes her more physically attractive because she's constantly fixing that. I mean, it only goes so far, right?
Yeah,
but it's
that
initial physical look. It's like she's like constantly checking on her face, checking on her hair. Da, da, da. I'm like, just fucking have fun.
That's a terrible way to live, though. You
it's
know?
Like bondage.
It's
you're not free. You're not free.
Exactly.
I mean, she's doing a lot better, actually. She moved from LA, which helps a lot.
Yeah, it helps a ton.
She's in Austin, actually. She's actually like having fun, and she's feeling like hot to trot because the guys have not seen a girl like this out there.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, are you having fun out there? She's like, yeah, it's so crazy. I'm like, yep, it's doing you good, girl. Go show them what it's made of, you know.
And then there's those girls as well. You know, there's those types of girls that can't have any other female friends around them, or they get really territorial.
Their
self-esteem is so low that when they become friends with another female, they instantly have to zone in on every guy that shows interest in that female.
Really?
Because they need all the attention, because if they don't have that attention, they don't know how to function.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that
I think that happened at my reunion. I went to my high school reunion just recently.
Yeah, I know.
And it was weird.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I think that a lot of the girls on Jersey Shore come home with these men simply for the attention. You know, they are insecure, and that's why they come home with these men. And also, you know, they're like 15 minutes of fame, you know?
They better have some scandal going on. They're dropped, girl.
Exactly.
They're gonna be replaced by, you know... Give me a jersey name. What's a good...
Snooki. I know that's the real one.
Yeah.
I can't really use
no,
that.
We need like a jersey name. Like, I don't know.
Letitia or like...
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm Australian.
Teresa. You know, Teresa or whatever. You know, Teresa's going to come on and, you know, with big hair. Not that that's a jersey name. I just said a fun name.
But it's sad because, like, these girls are really giving themselves a bad name for the rest of their life simply for like 15 minutes of fame. Like, you are labeling yourself as this girl who any man can take home whenever he pleases. Do you really want the whole world to see you like that just because you want to go home with a situation for one night? I don't know. I don't understand these girls' reasonings on the show.
I think the girls that go home with them for one episode, they're going to be forgotten really quickly.
Exactly.
But the girls like Snooki and Angelina...
Oh, they'll be remembered.
They'll be remembered. But that's what America's starting to love. We love
laughing
the
at
drama
these people.
Is amazing, we love the drama. We love laughing at you. We love thinking, oh my God, this girl is such a friggin' idiot.
Exactly.
Like even, you know, even like the Hills Girls and things like that. We're not, we don't feel empathetic for them. We're just like, oh my God, this is so stupid. Yeah, you are so stupid.
Well, because they're rich, you know, they're rich and they're famous and they have everything. So why should we feel sorry for them? You know?
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know.
I never got in the Hills, but I always thought it was like, it looked boring.
It is.
It looks so
I thought
really
it was boring.
Sure it's like, oh my God.
I'm rich.
Cindy called me the other day and told me that my boyfriend doesn't like me anymore.
But they look like so, I feel like there's this like kind of this epidemic. It's not even new, but this just layer you could just skim it in LA. It's that top layer of foam, and it's the people that are it's kind of like people that just haven't had to work for something. Exactly. I don't know how you
Their parents were rich, and that's why they were able to be on that show.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the wealth thing, but it's also just this very apathetic, like my friend has a really great character of like a girl that's like, hello. I don't know. Like everything's just like you can't. She can't be pleased.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
just bored.
Yeah.
And it's almost like
that monotone sound.
Yeah. Kind of like it's like how, you know that's not natural. Like where did you learn this?
Yeah. Exactly.
Like where did you learn this whole like it's cool to like not have emotion and be like yeah, whatever that's cool. Buy me a drink. I'm cool.
Exactly. It's by like buying her a brand new car and she just looks at it like oh I have like five of those already.
And that's like Sweet 16 as well. This is all new to me.
Listen, I have to disrupt everyone. I'm like, how am I going to interrupt three women that are talking nonstop here?
Never.
But we are out of time.
This is like girl. So, this is like girl time.
There you go.
You got totally shut down, Sam.
I have nothing to contribute.
My name's Jersey Shaw.
Yeah. Felicity, thank you so much for joining us. You're a lot of fun. Good luck to you in America and everything.
Thank you. Yes, good luck.
And Tasha, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And good luck to you as well.
Thank you.
And I know you guys are going to do well. There's a lot going on in L.A., you know, and always. Yeah. So, okay, well, today's Friday, Kira. Have a great weekend.
We'll see you all.
Oh, yeah, by the way, for those of you who want to do something tonight, there's an event over at the John Lovitz Comedy Club at Universal City Walk. It starts at 8, and it should be, it's sort of like the station is being honored by one of our shows and stuff, by Combat Radio. So it should be fun. There's celebrities and media and so forth. So if you guys want to come, that's definitely something to do tonight. Okay, ladies, thanks again, and we'll see everybody on Monday.
Been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.